He found one of them fairly quickly and tossed it to Oak, who caught it and then stared at it, blinking. There. Put that on when you dress.
You're giving this to me, Oak said,
and looked up at Sean with a shocked expression on his face. Yes, it's yours. Put it on. Suddenly, there was a naked man sitting on the ground. He fastened the necklace around his neck rather quickly. Then, standing up, he shook out the pants, brushed himself off with his hands, and then put them on. Sean gave him a shirt and his other pair of canvas shoes. Oak was maybe a couple of inches shorter than him as a human, but otherwise he had the same sort of build. Turning the pants up into cuffs, they fit him rather well. Come on, Sean said after rolling up the sheet again. Let's go see what my two nimble-fingered women came up with. Strange Bedfellows. Sean wasn't at all surprised when the girls pulled up in a minivan. Who's that? Roxy asked, leaning out of the passenger side window as Sean walked up to the side door with Jolene and Oak. Opening the side door, Sean made introductions. Roxy, Dalen, this is Oak. Oak is now sworn to my service. Oak, that's Dalen, and this is Roxy. Do as they say, be nice to them, or I promise to do horrible things to you. Assuming they don't.
Yes, sir, Oak said.
Oak, just call me Sean, okay?
Yes, Sean.
He nodded and got into the minivan, sitting in the back behind Jolene. Sean got in next to her and slid the door closed as Dalen drove off. How'd you get a name like Oak? Dalen asked from up front.
The council names you when you turn 13. They say they pick your name to show what kind of a lichen you will be. Oak sighed.
Doesn't sound like you believe it, though.
No, Oak said and shook his head. They do it to control us, to help keep us separate from regular society and regular people. Life in the Council of Gradatim's kennels is not an easy one. If you work hard, usually you are rewarded. But as I found out today, they still won't hesitate to sacrifice you if they feel like it. Too many of them really don't think we're any better than animals.
So why don't you leave?
Because they have barrier spells around the kennels and most of their properties that are keyed to the ceramic pellets in our bodies. Also, the first spell every caster child learns is how to kill us.
Wow. That must suck.
Yes. Especially when some child throws a tantrum and starts killing their parents' servants, or decides to teach one of us a lesson. The council members tend to find the first to be annoying, and the second to be cute, Oak growled.
Wow, that's pretty harsh, Dalen said. All in favor of going after Gradatim, say aye, Roxy muttered.
Aye,
Sean, Jolene, and Dalen quickly replied. I thought we were going after the Ascendants first, Roxy chuckled. We promised Oak we'd save his girlfriend, Jolene told her. He's worried they may kill her once they find out he's still alive and not with them anymore. Roxy nodded. Good point. And now that we're on our way to the Sorceress Guild, Joe, how about you telling us just how they treat lichens, being as both Sean and I are ones? Oh, and Oak, too. Jolene giggled and blushed. While they don't allow men onto their property or in their homes or compounds, they do, however, allow male lichens. But you have to stay in either your hybrid form or beast form. And how do they enforce that? Roxy asked. If you don't stay that way, you can't stay with them. It's very simple, really. So, if you don't stay in those forms, what do they do with you? Roxy asked again, slowly. They kick you out, Jolene said with a giggle. Wait, what? They kick you out? Nothing else? No punishment? No torture? Well, kicking you out is considered punishment enough. And just why is that? Roxy asked, looking confused. Because the women in the Sorceress's Guild don't sleep with men. Well, not human men, They pretty much only sleep with lichens.
Jeez, why would any woman want to do that?
Dalen giggled from behind the wheel.
Yes, I can hardly imagine why,
Jolene chuckled.
Well, I guess it cuts down on unwanted pregnancies,
Sean sighed. Jolene nodded.
That, and of course most sorceresses, don't trust men who are magic users not to try and take over. This eliminates any conflicts over leadership. Lycans don't do magic.
Jolene paused and patted Sean on the leg.
Rather, most lycans don't do magic. Anyway, it's a very old tradition now among most of the sorceresses' guilds, and no one hears the lycans complaining about it.
How do you know so much about it?
Dalen asked.
Oh, a couple of my girlfriends live there.
Girlfriend girlfriends? Or girlfriend girlfriends?
Dalen grumbled.
Why, hon? Are you jealous?
Jolene giggled. Sean could see Dalen blush from where he was sitting.
Roxy wisely kept her mouth shut.
Stop teasing your sister wife, Sean sighed.
Aw, but I like it when you all feel possessive,
Jolene chuckled.
It's nice to be wanted. But to answer the question, yes, I have a couple of friends and lovers there. Most sorceresses don't really have a problem with tantric witches.
Well, that's good, Dalen said.
Because we're here.
Well, Sean said, and opening the door, he got out and immediately shifted.
Let's see if we're welcome or not. Oak, shift as soon as you can, please.
Oak nodded and shifted just before stepping out of the minivan, which Dalen had parked a couple hundred yards away in front of another building on the road. Sean led the way up to the gates, and when he got there, a woman stepped out of the shadows.
Ah, you again,
Roberta smiled.
Come to take me up on my offer?
Actually, I was kind of hoping we could claim sanctuary here for a couple of days, Sean said with a smile.
I don't know,
Roberta hesitated a moment.
There are quite a few of you. And whose wolf is that?
He's my wolf, Sean said.
Well, I suppose I could ask Deanna, but what's in it for me?
Roberta teased.
Jolene walked up to the gate then, standing beside Sean.
Hi, Roberta. Oh, hi, Jolene,
Roberta said, not looking at all embarrassed, Sean noticed.
You know, I suppose we could be talked into letting him wear your collar for a couple of days, if you let us all inside, of course. I thought you were all married or something,
Roberta asked, looking over Sean with an expression he'd seen on all three of his wives' faces more than once.
Well, yeah, but he's a lion. How else is he supposed to recruit?
Recruit? Roberta said with a laugh.
For what? Wife, of course.
Jolene smiled.
Understand, if he wears your collar, you may end up with more than you bargained for.
Roberta stopped looking at Sean and looked at Jolene.
You're looking good, Joe. That's 'cause I'm feeling good, Roberta.
Roberta put a hand to her chin and nodded slowly a few times in obvious thought. After a minute, she unlocked the gate, having apparently come to a decision.
Come on in. And wait right here. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Oh, great. Now I won't get to have any fun for days,
Dalen grumbled.
Oh, I'm sure I can think of something,
Jolene whispered.
I wasn't thinking that kind of fun,
Dalen blushed.
Oh, I'm sure that Roberta won't monopolize all of my time,
Sean laughed.
Not for lack of trying, I'm sure,
Jolene giggled. Sean rolled his eyes and looked at Roxy.
Now I know how you must have felt with all those guys staring at your ass all the time.
Roxy laughed.
Why do you think I was always wearing my track shorts? If you got it, flaunt it.
Sean shook his head. He should have known better.
So, Joe, what's the deal with wearing her collar, anyway?
It keeps the other sorceresses from hitting on your lover. However,
Jolene giggled again,
a lot of the lycans here find themselves getting passed around quite a bit.
No wonder why they don't want to get tossed out,
Dalen grumbled.
I'm surprised you haven't heard of this,
Sean said, looking at Roxy.
Roxy snorted.
You've seen my dad. My brothers are never lacking in female attention, to put it mildly. Plus, I grew up in Vegas. This is pretty mild compared to the things I've seen going on there.
Roberta came back then, with Deanna, who stopped and smiled up at Sean.
So, Roberta says you're all looking to hide out here for a few days?
Yes, ma'am, Sean said, and nodded.
Problems, then?
Our home was raided by a team from Gradatin. It's a bit of a mess now, plus I'm not so sure it's safe to go back to. We're looking for a place to lay low while we figure out what we're going to do next.
And who is that?
Deanna asked, pointing to Oak.
He's the sole surviving Lycan from the Force. Apparently they were sent on a suicide mission. He survived. He's mine now.
Oh?
Deanna looked up at him.
Why didn't you kill him?
Sean thought about that a moment.
Because he was no longer theirs. I mean, what would have been the point? My father wanted to free them, not kill them.
There's going to be a war, Deanna sighed. Isn't there?
Sean nodded slowly, looking down at her.
I'm afraid so.
Well, it's not like people haven't been warning them for the last decade or so,
Deanna said, shaking her head.
Never let it be said that the Sorceress Guild didn't stand with the Lycans. You're welcome here, Sean. Same for your wives and any who are sworn to you. Just understand that I would appreciate it if you didn't bring a war down upon my people.
Sean nodded and smiled.
Thank you, ma'am.
I think you'll soon learn that you have a lot more friends here than you suspected.
Deanna yawned, and turning, she raised her right hand in a wave as she headed back the way she had come.
Good night.
Roberta smiled then, and handed Sean a rather nice leather collar with a metal tag on it that said, Roberta.
If you would put that on, please,
Roberta said with a rather big smile. Sighing, Sean called up his monitor program and checked the collar for enchantments. He found several, surprisingly.
This is enchanted,
he said, surprised, and looked down at Roberta. Roberta blushed just a little, which surprised Sean.
Yeah. I'll explain it to you later. Don't worry about it. It's not anything bad.
Sean looked at Jolene, who just winked at him, so with a sigh he put it on.
Here's another one for your wolf,
Roberta said, and passed it over to Jolene, who handed it to Oak.
That should keep him out of any trouble. Now, allow me to show you to your rooms,
Roberta said, and then looking at Sean, she almost purred.
Except for you, big boy. You're coming with me.
So?
Sean asked, after they'd set the girls and Oak up in two different rooms to stay in.
Just exactly what do the enchantments on this collar do?
Sean was surprised to see Roberta actually blush again. She wasn't the kind of woman that Sean expected blushed very often.
Well, it drains a little bit of power every day off of the Lycan who wears it to power a, spell that I can use once it's full.
And how long does that take? Sean asked.
Oh, months,
Roberta smiled.
Lots of months. As you'll only be here for a few days, I'm sure, it's nothing you have to worry about.
Uh-huh.
Sean grinned. Whatever it was, talking about it was making Roberta rather uncomfortable. But according to his rather strong powers of smell, fairly excited as well. Examining it with his enchantment program, he could see that she was telling the truth. It was drawing off a minuscule amount of his power. It would take quite a while to fully charge. He could also see that it was storing energy to power some sort of spell that was tied directly to Roberta. He couldn't figure it out, however. As Roberta stopped at the door to her quarters, Sean slid up behind her and put his hands on her shoulders, then slowly ran them down her arms to her hands, and turning her around, he bent down and kissed her as he pulled her close. She didn't hesitate at all, and put her arms over his shoulders and wrapped them around his thick neck, under his mane, kissing him back. Sean took his time kissing her, and let his hands do a little exploring. Roberta was definitely well put together under the robes she was wearing.
"Shall we go inside?"
Sean whispered after a couple of minutes of kissing.
"Oh, yes. Let's go inside,"
Roberta said in a husky voice. Turning back to the door, she opened it, and Sean followed her inside.
"Mommy!"
Sean's eyebrows raised up as what looked like a 6-year-old girl came running into the room dressed in pajamas, making a beeline for Roberta.
"Mommy, you're home early."
"Sarah, what have I told you about staying in bed?"
Roberta said in obvious mother mode.
"I had a dream that..."
Sean noticed that she saw him then and stopped in mid-sentence. He started to worry about the effects of seeing an 8-foot-tall lionware might have on a young child that was still half asleep, when she suddenly changed her vector and literally grabbed him around his left leg.
"Daddy! Daddy's home!"
Sean noticed the pained look on Roberta's face, and then the guilty look she flashed him before looking back at her daughter.
"Sarah, you need to go back to bed,"
Roberta half pleaded with her daughter.
"But Daddy's here."
Sean settled down to his knees carefully.
"Hello, Sarah. I'm Sean. How are you?"
Sarah blinked and looked at him.
"You're not Daddy?"
"No, Sarah. I'm sorry. I'm not your father."
I'm sorry."
Sarah looked rather sad suddenly.
"You look so much like him. I was hoping he was coming by again. Mommy told me he had to go away and won't be able to come back."
"I'm sorry to hear that, Sarah. But sometimes these things happen."
"He promised me a little sister. He told me he'd get me one, but now he's gone. But when I saw you, I thought..."
Sarah looked up at Sean, with all of the innocence and the very transparent guile of 6-year-olds everywhere.
"He promised you, did he?"
Sean said, and looked over at Roberta, who pursed her lips and tried to look anywhere but at Sean, as she wrung her hands in embarrassment.
"Yes,"
Sarah said, nodding.
"He promised me."
"Well, us lions, we stick together," Sean purred rather loudly, eyes still on Roberta. "So I guess I'll just have to take care of that for him."
Sean noticed the effect on Roberta was rather educational. She turned even redder than he'd ever seen Daylan turn, and started squirming like she had ants in her pants. Sarah threw her arms around his neck and hugged him.
"Promise?"
she squeaked happily.
"Oh, yeah,"
Sean rumbled. Roberta's scent had just hit him, and it almost floored him.
"I promise."
Turning back to Sarah, he peeled her arms from around his neck.
"But you, princess, need to go to bed now. Okay?"
"Yes, Daddy,"
Sarah said, and running over, she gave Roberta a hug.
"Night, Mommy,"
and ran back to her bedroom.
"So,"
Sean said, rising back up to his feet slowly and advancing on Roberta.
"Her father is a lion?"
"Was,"
Roberta said, looking a little sad.
"You know, you look just like him."
"Samson?"
Roberta nodded.
6 years ago, when I was 18, we met and, well, Sarah happened."
"Sarah isn't all that happened, was it?"
Roberta blushed.
"No, but she was our only child."
Sean looked at the collar again with his enchantment program as he put his arms around her and pulled her close. Filling it up would be easy, so he did so. As he started to tweak to just what the collars were used for.
"Just how do these collars work?" he asked.
Roberta blushed.
"I don't see how that matters. You won't be here long enough."
Sweeping Roberta up into a bridal carry, Sean headed for the door to what he guessed was her bedroom.
"Humor me."
"Well,"
Roberta blushed.
It lets the Lycan who has powered it, make a child with the sorceress who owns it.
You gals really do have a thing for Lycans, don't you?
Sean chuckled, and kicking the door closed behind him with a heel, he came over to the bed and set Roberta down on it.
We barely have time enough for our children, but Lycan men tend to be used to strong, independent women. They don't try to compete with us. Besides,
Roberta reached up and, grabbing his mane, she pulled him down to her.
You're a lot better in bed.
Sean laughed at that, and pulling his shirt off, he started helping her undress between kisses, licks, and the occasional nibble. When they were finally both naked on the bed, with Sean kneeling between her legs, he smiled down at her. She really was a beautiful young woman, and lying before him, panting and smiling back at him with desire, Sean reached up behind him, and taking off the necklace, he handed it to her.
"Why don't you put that on?" he rumbled.
"There's no way that's charged enough to work,"
Roberta sighed, eyeing it wistfully.
"What? You don't think I'm not going to keep my promise?"
Sean growled, and grabbing her hips, he pulled her closer as her legs wrapped around his hips. Leaning forward a little, he fitted himself into her, causing her to gasp, her shoulders laying back on the bed.
"Put it on," he growled.
Giving a sigh, Roberta put on the collar and blinked. Then her eyes got wide.
"How?"
"I'm an enchanter," Sean smiled. "You think I can't deal with something as simple as that? Now, what do you say we make your daughter happy?"
Sean was lying on his side, panting and purring rather happily. He had no idea what time it was, and honestly, he didn't give a damn right now. He'd just done something he'd never done before, and damn if he wasn't thinking about doing it again. Roberta had her back to him right now, as he was spooned up against her, his arms wrapped around her, his chin on top of her head. They were both covered in sweat, and the room stunk of sex.
"I'm gonna be a dad," Sean finally whispered.
"You said that each of the last 8 times,"
Roberta said dreamily.
"Care to go for 9?
Sean teased.
"If you're anything like Samson, I suspect it'll be more like 15.
She giggled.
"I can't believe that Sarah is his daughter."
"Why? What's so hard about it?"
"He never mentioned it."
"What? You feel cheated?"
Sean gave a small nod.
"Yeah, a little. I would have liked to have known her sooner. Samson was like a dad to me. Hell, I almost feel guilty sleeping with his woman."
"Almost," Roberta teased. "Only almost."
"Well, what kind of a stepson would I be if I didn't fulfill his promises?"
Sean chuckled and bent his head down to kiss her on the top of her head.
"How did it happen, anyway?" he asked her.
Roberta laughed.
"A lot like this one, you know. On a bed, after a lot of sex."
Sean rolled his eyes and pinched a nipple, enjoying the way she wiggled back against him when he did.
"That's not what I meant, and you know it. But really, I'm curious."
He'd been coming up here for years, helping out, and yes, getting laid. He was a lion. He had needs. We took care of them.
"You know, I'd always wondered about him and my mom, why they never hooked up. I could see he loved her, and she loved him. I always wondered why they didn't."
"Because of who and what they were. Samson loved your mother. He told me so more than once. He loved you, too. But Lycans only slept with Lycans where he came from. He broke that rule with us, because sorceresses and Lycans have been doing this for centuries."
"I guess I can see that," Sean said with a nod. "So how did you end up having his child?"
Roberta sighed.
"I'm only telling you this because you're his son, his Lycan son."
"Huh?"
"When a Lycan infects someone, they become a parent of that person, because they pass on a part of themselves to you. You look almost exactly like Samson as a lion, you know. Part of why I guess I was attracted to you the moment I saw you.
Oh. Shaw nodded.
Samson lost his wife and his children back in Rhodesia, when the government collapsed. He never told me the details, but I look a lot like her. And, well, he kept avoiding me for the longest time. So on my 18th birthday, I corralled him through the use of a very contrived plot and a couple of favors I was owed.
Oh, he must have loved that, Sean laughed, thinking about Samson. If there was one thing Samson hated, it was being manipulated. Roberta snickered.
Oh, yeah, he was pissed. That was when I learned that lions can actually get a woman pregnant, collar or no collar, if they really want to.
Wait, that doesn't sound like something he would have done, Sean said, a little concerned.
Let's just say I had one of those, here, hold my beer, moments.
Roberta laughed, and tilting her head back, she kissed him under the chin.
Best rash decision I ever made.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel the same way about this one. Sean purred and let his hands start to wander over Roberta's body again.
I can't be your wife, Sean,
Roberta warned him.
I have a daughter, and I have responsibilities here.
I understand, Roberta, hon. I honestly do. Maybe once all of this is over, we can have that discussion again. Once it's safe for me to settle down and raise a family.
Thank you for understanding,
Roberta said, rolling over to look up into his eyes. I love you. Of course I understand. Sean purred and kissed her as he started to make love to her once more.
Lions,
Roberta mumbled between kisses.
Gotta love 'em.
The Sorceress Guild. Sean had one arm around Roberta, and Sarah was riding on his shoulder as they went down to the kitchen. While there was a small kitchen in Roberta's apartment, there was a much larger one with cooks who supplied everyone there with meals. Apparently the guild really was modeled on an old-fashioned guild hall. There were living quarters, workshops, meeting rooms, even an armory. While not all of the members of the guild lived here, most did, and even those that didn't lived close by. As a member of the guild, you were entitled to their protection and support, and you always had a place to stay. In return for that, you were expected to pay your dues, contribute to the well-being of the guild, and support your fellow guild members. Any and all disagreements were brought to the guild and ruled on by the leaders. Roberta had explained to him that, yes, some of the women in the guild could be downright evil, and others probably qualified for sainthood. But there were rules that all must abide by, and everyone understood that they were far better off standing together, as the world of magic was heavily male-dominated. So while there could be some serious knockdown, drag-out, screaming fights inside the guild, outside, they all acted like they were best of friends and watched out for one another. When they came into the kitchen area, Sean noticed that it got rather quiet, and all of the women were nudging each other and smiling.
Oh, shit. I forgot to put the collar back on, Sean whispered.
Roberta laughed and whispered back,
That's because I'm wearing it, and no, I'm not taking it off either.
Well, that didn't take long,
one of the gals sitting at one of the tables nearby eating breakfast chuckled.
Yeah, well, lions,
Roberta replied, grinning back at her.
Well, good for you,
the gal replied and raised her glass of orange juice in salute. Sean spied the girls, who were eating breakfast and steering Roberta over towards them. Noticing that quite a few of the other women eating also raised their glasses as Roberta walked by, and Roberta was positively strutting rather proudly across the room. Roxy looked at him and then Roberta as they sat down, Sarah sliding off his shoulder and grabbing a seat next to her mom.
Joe?
Yes, Rox?
Does that collar being on Roberta mean what I think it does?
Yep,
Jolene giggled. Roxy grumbled and facepalmed.
Damn it, I saw him first.
Daylin looked from Roberta to Sean to Roxy and then to Jolene.
Okay, What did I miss this time?
Sean's going to be a daddy,
Joe snickered.
Oh, is that all?
Daylin looked at Roberta and Sean.
Congrats, both of you.
Why, thank you.
Daylin, right? Roberta asked. Daylin nodded.
Where's Oak? Sean asked, looking around.
Oh, we sent him off with his shopping list,
Roxy said.
No one's looking for him, and one of Deanna's girls offered to drive.
Ah, Sean said, and flagged down a cougar who apparently worked serving food here. He wondered if the chefs were also lichens. Keeping fur out of the food would definitely be a major problem then.
Oh, and don't worry, I'll be sure to make you next, Sean said with a wink at Roxy, who brightened visibly. Joel'll be after that.
I'm not letting you infect me, Sean,
Jolene smiled.
He doesn't have to,
Roberta said with a smile, and then turned to order food from the cougar who had come over.
I'm not wearing a collar either.
Joe, Sean smiled. Don't you want my children?
Jolene blushed, and Daylin leaned over and whispered something in her ear.
What?
Jolene said, looking completely shocked. Daylin grinned evilly.
It's nice being the one who knows something she doesn't for a change.
I thought it was just going to be more of a surprise for her when she found out she was pregnant one day.
Roxy laughed.
You knew?
Jolene said, looking at Roxy in shock.
Course I knew. Honestly, Joe, I don't see what the issue is. You'll make a great mom when your time comes.
Sean just shook his head and snickered, then ordered from the server as Jolene sat there and quietly fumed.
Well, now that we got all that out of the way,
Daylin said, going back to eating her breakfast.
What are our plans for today?
Honestly, I had other things on my mind, Sean said with a wink.
Well, I think we're best off sitting here and lying low,
Roxy said,
until we find out how we got found out.
Someone bugged the box the necklaces came in,
Jolene grumbled.
What?
Daylin said, looking shocked.
Oak told us, after Sean swore him. Didn't know who did it, just that it was a dwarf. Either they owed McConnell, or their friends or something.
Why, I'll...
Daylin started, stopping when Sean held up his hand.
They... Who knew that the order was from us?
Garth did. He's my cousin and best friend's husband.
Daylin fumed.
What about that other guy in the room?
Roxy asked.
Branf Knudsen?
Daylin said.
What about him?
That makes two suspects. Who handed you the box with the production samples in it?
Daylin growled.
Branf did?
Well,
Roxy smiled.
Maybe we need to have a little conversation with him?
Sean had been watching Jolene. She really was looking unhappy. Standing up, he leaned all the way over the table, which was fairly easy to do at his size. Taking her face in his hands, he kissed her, making her blink.
Joe, he whispered, if you really don't want to have children, I won't force you to.
Sure you won't,
she grumbled.
I may ask, and I may beg, Sean admitted a little sheepishly.
After what he'd done last night, he had to admit that both he and his lion were very taken with the idea.
But I'll never force it. We can talk about this later if you want. But stop acting like the world is going to end, okay? I love you, remember that. If you're not happy, I'm not happy.
Jolene sighed and nodded, then kissed him back.
Yes, love.
Smiling, Sean sat back down. Roxy winked at him. He knew she heard it, as she was sitting there in her hybrid form. Daylin didn't say anything, so he guessed she probably hadn't.
We need to go pay Garth a visit,
Daylin sighed,
and have a very unpleasant conversation about his employees.
Sean nodded, and then sat back as his food was delivered. Thankfully, there was a lot of it.
We also need to see if we can rescue my Cuda,
Daylin grumbled.
I wonder if they know that we got away,
Jolene asked, sounding a little more like her usual self.
I need to talk to Sawyer and some of my other friends.
Sean nodded. And I need to do a few experiments.
On what?
Roberta asked. To see if I can make more of these. Sean sighed and fingered the silver tag.
What's that?
Roberta asked. This, Sean said, pulling it off his collar with a click and holding it up so she could see it, is what all the fuss is about. Sean handed it to her. Our brave new world starts with that, I guess.
Huh,
Roberta said, turning it over and looking at it.
Just looks like a regular metal tag. What's it do?
It protects lichens from silver, Sean told her.
What was that quote you said?
Roxy asked. Brave New World, Sean replied, and then took the tag back from Roberta as she handed it to him.
Yeah, wasn't that a book or something?
Sean nodded. Yeah, Huxley wrote it. My mother always used to quote the title, even though she hated the book. She'd always say, Sean, you're our brave new world, too. Sean stopped and looked at the tag. Something had happened to it. He had felt it. Calling up his enchanting program, he looked at it. The encryption algorithm had stopped. That was the password.
How had she known?
Sean stared at the tag in his hand. His mother knew. She knew that one day he'd be holding this tag, and that he'd need to get past its encryption. How had she known that? Had his father told her, because he knew what was coming? Had it been just a shot in the dark? A chance? Or was there something more going on?
Sean? Are you okay? Sean?
Roxy was saying his name. Looking up, Sean saw all of the others were now staring at him.
Are you okay, Sean?
Roxy asked again. Sean nodded slowly, and calling up his tarball program, he tarballed the whole tag, everything on it. He could look at it later, but for now, he wasn't going to take any chances. With a thought, he turned the encryption back on, and clicked the tag back onto his collar. I'm sorry. I just was struck with a sudden thought. Turning to Roberta, he asked her, Did Samson ever tell you anything about my mother? Roberta shook her head.
No. Why?
I'm starting to think that there are things about my mother that I never knew, Sean said.
Wait, she knew Samson?
Roxy asked.
Samson is my daddy,
Sarah said from where she was eating her own breakfast. Roxy turned and stared at Sean. Sean felt his ears go down and his facial fur stand up.
Small world, isn't it? Really, Sean?
Roxy said.
Going after Samson's girl? And knocking her up? I mean, really?
Sean sighed. He wasn't sure if Roxy was mad or if she was just teasing him. I told you. Samson promised Sarah that he'd give her a little sister, and well, Roberta seemed rather taken with the idea.
And no doubt your lion was, too.
Turning to face her, Sean grabbed her arms. Should I get to work on you, too? Honestly, Rox, I'd love to knock you up right here, right now, in the hallway, on the floor, in front of everyone. Yeah, of course my lion liked the idea. So did I. The only reason you're not pregnant is because you haven't asked me to. At least not yet. Sean was pleased to see Roxy's ears go down in embarrassment. More than a few people were looking at them at this point.
Okay, I get it. I'll stop teasing you, Roxy grumbled. I just sort of wanted to be first. But, well, I'm not exactly looking to have kids when we don't even have a safe place to call home.
Thank you, Sean sighed and let her go.
Still, giving in to such a blatant guilt trip by a 6-year-old.
Roxy snickered and shook her head.
Your daughters are going to own you.
Their mothers already do. Sean snorted and shook his head. I wouldn't be surprised to find out Roberta set the whole thing up just to get me to do it. It's pretty obvious that she loved Samson, and because I'm his lichen son, I guess she figured I'm the next best thing. Roxy nodded.
Probably.
They went into the quarters that the girls were sharing. Oak was using a room next to theirs.
So, what did you need to see from our stuff?
Jolene asked, going over the pile of neatly stacked items. I want to try and make a few tags, Sean told them.
I thought you weren't able to break the encryption on the tag.
Sean grinned. The password was Brave New World. As soon as I said it, it unlocked.
Well, that explains the sudden pause and look of confusion.
And the change of subject, Dalen agreed. So, you going to try pushing silver through your shield and try to harness the energy?
Sean nodded. Yes, but we'll need to move someplace safer so we don't set anything on fire. Also, I'll need you, Roxy, to handle the silver.
Why me?
Because if anything goes wrong, you won't be killed by it.
It's silver, hon.
Oh, right, Sean said, and scratched his head.
I'll do it,
Dalen said.
I've dealt with hot metal before. Just need to see if they have a smithy here or not.
Have you figured out how much energy is in an ounce of silver? You said you'd look into it.
Oh, yeah, that. Alpha Decay gives off like 4.3 million electron volts of energy per atom.
That much?
Jolene said, looking surprised.
An electron volt is tiny,
Dalen said.
Without getting into all the math, an ounce of silver gives off about 3,400 kilowatts of power, if you decay all of the atoms.
That's a lot,
Roxy said.
Sean nodded.
But I only get about 10% of it to use.
That's still over 300 kilowatts,
Dalen pointed out.
And you said it's, what, 14 to make a tag? That's like 24 right there.
Assuming I can control it.
Where's the other 90% going?
Roxy asked. Dealing with the radiation and running all the magic in the device, that 10% is what runs the shield, if I understood the notes right. And even with that, it's still too much power, which is why the shield expands and gets harder, and then starts to shed heat. So, how many necklaces and tags did you manage to grab?
18 of the necklaces, 5 of the tags,
Jolene said. Well, grab them, Day. Grab the silver, please. I'm afraid to touch it with the tag on. Then, let's all go see if we can find a place to do a little experimenting.
We'll ask Roberta. She'll know,
Jolene said. I'd like to keep this as quiet as possible, Sean confided in them.
Sean?
Roxy growled. Yes, dear?
Stop being an idiot.
Huh?
Of all the sorceresses here, Roberta is definitely the one who will keep your secrets. She's got your child in her, remember? Didn't you notice how much she was leaning into you this morning? Whatever she felt for Samson, and I suspect it was a lot. She's pretty much focused that on you now.
Sean looked at Roxy, standing there with her hands on her hips. Yes, dear.
Better. Really? Your lion should clue you in on these things.
We're still giddy. Forgive us, Sean grinned.
Lions,
Roxy said, throwing her hands up in the air. But Sean could see she was smiling all the same. Well, let's go find Roberta and see about a place to do some work.
What about Brampf and my car?
Dalen asked. We need to deal with this first. Then we'll see about that, Sean said. I still need to get back in there and get my father's book as well. If it's still in one piece, that is. But you said it would be a few days? Dalen sighed and nodded. Tomorrow, I promise. Experiments. Sean was sitting in a chair in his hybrid form, without any clothing on, or anything flammable within 10 feet of him. He had his enchantment program open, his monitor program open, and he'd already turned off the encryption on the silver tag device. The plan right now was simple. Dalen would simply throw half-ounce slugs of silver at him, that she'd cut off one of the 10-ounce bars, while Sean held one of the necklaces in his hand and tried to use his tarball program to enchant it. He thought that starting off with something he could do on his own might be a better way to test this.
On a metal table to his left were several more chains, as well as the 5 tags.
Ready?
Daylan asked him. Everyone else was behind what looked like a blast shield. Apparently some sorceresses dealt with some pretty nasty magic of their own.
Go,
Sean said, and as the silver hit the shield, he watched as everything did what it was supposed to do. He untarred the program into the necklace and tried to grab the energy coming from the silver tag, but it wasn't coming as fast as he needed it, so he only got a small percentage to use for the enchanting, and the rest came from him. He got a little dizzy as the surge hit, but he had more than enough energy to create one by himself, and then, of course, there was all the energy he got back, as well as the small bit that came from the necklace, which continued at a trickle for another second afterwards.
That didn't look good, Daylan commented.
No, I only got a small amount from the necklace. The rest went into the shield to harden it and extend it.
Can you turn that off?
I don't know. Throw another piece.
Okay, here comes.
This time, Sean simply watched the functions of the silver tag as the silver hit the shield. He saw it then. The program that took the energy to buff the shield up. That was where most of the energy was going. If he could subvert that program, the energy would go directly to... Sean followed that path, and he found the heat program. The heat program's purpose was to throttle all of the energy that came out of the necklace and only allow a small percentage to go to the wearer. Apparently his father felt that it was better to set someone on fire than to funnel too much energy into them. That made him stop and think a moment. Sean knew that he'd recover from being burned. Even third-degree burns probably wouldn't stop him. Well, maybe if he got enough of them, they might. But for the most part, he'd heal. But he had no idea at all what too much magical energy would do to him. Looking at the routines in the tag, he could see just how he could make one minor change in 2 places to bypass those routines. But then he'd get hit with all of that power at once, which was a pretty big shot of power.
Day, can you think of a way to feed the silver to me slowly, but at a constant rate?
Easy peasy,
Daylan said.
Then set it up.
How much and how fast?
Say about 1/10 of an ounce per 10 seconds, Sean said, taking his best guess.
Okay, give me a couple of minutes to do a few things.
Sure, Sean said.
What are you planning to do? Jolene asked, coming around the shield.
Well, I can override the safeties on the device, so I get the power directly. But if it comes too fast, Sean made a face. I have no idea what happens to a person who gets too much magic too fast.
They cook, Jolene sighed. Just like those stories say about pets in microwaves.
Ew, Roxy said, making a face. Sure you want to do this, hon?
I only have to do it once, Sean said.
And you only have to screw it up once as well, Roxy pointed out.
We need the tags. You need the tag. If we can make this work, then at least we have a way to make more.
I still say you should just build a machine to do this, Sean,
Roxy growled.
I love you too, dear, Sean said. And just then the sound of hammering came from the back of the room. What's she doing?
Thinning and lengthening one of those bars, I think, Jolene said.
Sure enough, a minute later, Daylan came over and took a much thinner and longer bar and attached a string through a hole she'd punched in one end. Using a stand that was in the room, she draped the string over it and hung the bar over Sean's chair.
How's that?
Daylan said, as she practiced raising and lowering it several times. Sean noticed she had the string wrapped around a thick rod and was lowering it by slowly turning the rod.
That looks good. Just keep an eye on me. If I start smoking, stop lowering.
Oh, I got a temperature gauge for that,
Daylan laughed and pointed some sort of handheld device at him as a red dot appeared on his chest.
Okay, well, let's give this a try, Sean said, and going over and sitting in the chair, he grabbed all 5 of the tags.
He didn't really need to hold them in his hand, though it did make it easier for him to find them. Putting three in one hand, he spread them out so he could easily feel each one. Then he put the remaining two in his other hand. Checking his monitor program, he closed his eyes and started to concentrate.
"Lower it."
"Lowering,"
Dalen said. And when it hit the shield, Sean winced at the sudden influx of energy.
"Slower,"
he called, and triggered the first tarball. He could actually feel his insides warming up for a moment, but then the program started and drew off all of the energy he'd gotten. As it neared completion, he triggered a second one, then a third, as he got hit with the blast of return energy from the first one as it completed and kicked back a third of the energy required to make it. He felt he had it handled at that point and didn't realize his mistake until the next two finished and each kicked back both of their energies. Dropping them, he started running the programs on the two remaining tags immediately to suck up that energy before it fried him.
"Stop!"
he gasped, and watched as the two remaining tags were programmed rapidly. The power to fill them stopped, and then he was having to use his own energy to do it, and he didn't have enough.
"A little more!"
he gasped, almost passing out as the last of his energy left him, only to be replaced rather suddenly with another big shot of energy.
"Trouble,"
he gasped, and could see that the tags were about to complete. He was sure he could get Dalen to stop before he got too much energy, but he was about to get about 9 kilowatts of energy dumped back into him.
"Stop,"
he called out, just as the tags finished and the excess energy started to dump back into him. Opening his eyes, he looked around frantically. Even his most powerful spell didn't drain that much. He saw the table then, with the necklaces on it. Slamming his hand down on top of it, he started the necklace tarball on 10 of them at once, screaming in pain as he got hit with a huge backlash of energy from the two tags. Thankfully, it drained out into the necklaces quickly, though he was forced to start it on one more, the power overfilling him even with the drain. Gasping for breath as the pain ebbed, he watched the progress of the spells and thought he smelled something burning in the room. He checked his power. He was almost full up again. As the first 10 started to complete, he started up a 12th, and then 3 more as the power from those 10 kicked back. Looking at his own power, he was almost drained. Sighing with relief, he let the power from the last 4 flow back into him, and then groaning, he let go of everything and passed out, falling to the floor. Roxy had started to step forward when Sean gasped and told Dalen to slow down. But Jolene grabbed onto her arm with both hands and yanked hard. Looking at Jolene, Roxy saw her shake her head with a very blatant look of concern on her face.
"He's still okay,"
Jolene whispered. Roxy gave a soft growl, but nodded and continued to watch as Dalen slowed down. Then stopped completely when Sean gasped out,
"Stop!"
"Not yet,"
Jolene whispered.
"Not yet."
They all jumped when Sean called out for a little more and started to waver in his seat.
"He's losing it,"
Roberta said.
"No, not yet. Wait,"
Jolene said.
"I can channel power, but not much. He's still handling it."
Roxy started forward when Sean called out that he was in trouble, only to find Jolene straddling her back and hitting her on the head.
"Not yet, you idiot!"
Jolene told her. Roxy was stopped dead by the sheer desperation in Jolene's voice. Jolene never ever hit anyone, much less yelled at them. When Sean yelled for Dalen to stop and his eyes opened as he screamed in pain, looking around frantically, Jolene started forward, pushing Roxy forcefully out of the way, stopping inches from him, with her hands outstretched above his head as he put his hand on the necklaces, dropping the remaining tags from his other hand.
"Come on, you can do it,"
Jolene was muttering, her hands inches above Sean's body as his fur literally started to smolder for a moment. Roxy almost took a step forward again, but this time Roberta put a hand on her.
"That's it. Come on, baby. You can do it,"
Jolene continued to whisper as Sean's hands moved over the necklaces a second time. And then with a sudden sigh, he started to sag, and Jolene put her hands on him and started casting. Just as several buckets worth of water appeared above them, and rained down. This time Roxy ran up to them.
"How is he?"
"It's not too bad,"
Jolene said, panting.
He got hit with a huge backlash.
Backlash? From what?
Roxy asked.
Oh, shit.
Daylin swore.
He forgot about that.
Forgot about what?
Roberta asked.
We all forgot about it.
Jolene sighed and looked at Roberta.
When he does these fast enchantments, he gets about a third of the energy it takes back when it completes. And those tags...
Jolene nodded to them on the floor.
Take about 9 months' worth of energy. He damn near fried himself. If those necklaces hadn't been there, he probably would have fried himself. As it was, he was starting to cook there at the end.
Shit,
Roxy growled.
He is not doing that again.
No, definitely not,
Jolene agreed.
If he even suggests it, I just might whack him one with Max,
Daylin agreed.
Well, let's clean up this mess. You can all come back to my room,
Roberta said, looking around the scattered magic items and the wet floor.
I'll get the tags,
Roxy sighed. And picking one up, she clicked it onto her collar.
You know, as much as I like having this, it wasn't worth it.
Sean came to, lying on his back in a soft bed. It took him a few moments to realize where he was, and boy did his head hurt. He tried to sit up, but a hand pressed him back down into bed.
Just rest. You almost cooked yourself to death there, boy genius,
Roxy snarled.
Could I get some water?
Sean gasped, as he realized he was dying of thirst.
Just a moment,
he heard Roberta say. Sean just sighed and closed his eyes, as what happened to him played back through his mind. That backlash of energy was okay when it was small, and you could do something with it. But with something as massive as the enchantments on those silver tag devices? Oh, that was a serious problem. He'd have to find a way to fix that.
Help him up,
Roberta said, and he felt Roxy's hand on his back as she easily set him up. He started drinking as soon as he felt the glass touch his lips, and drained it dry rather quickly. Roberta refilled the glass, and he drained that one, then another. His headache started to recede a little as he started in on the fourth one.
How did I lose so much water? He groaned.
It boiled off, Jolene said, when you almost did the human fireball trick.
Sean winced at her tone of voice.
Is there anyone in this room who isn't mad at me?
No,
all four of them said together.
So I guess suggesting that I'll get it right the next time is right out,
Sean said, giving a wan smile.
Sean,
Roxy growled, and looking up, he saw she had a lamp in her hand and was about to smack him with it.
Oh, enough of this,
his lion said, and growling rather loudly, Sean looked at all of them.
I'm sorry, he growled loudly. Yes, I made a mistake. Yes, it hurt like hell. And no, you will not take that tone of voice with me.
If you are going to try that again, there is going to be one hell of a fight in this room,
Roxy warned him.
Dear Lord, I may be an idiot sometimes, but I'm no fool,
Sean sighed and collapsed back onto the bed. He was exhausted. Apparently he'd pushed himself right to the edge. He'd have to look himself over later and check for damage.
That's better,
Roxy purred, and climbed up onto the bed with him, the other three following her example.
Much better,
Sean purred and gave each one a kiss. And then, closing his eyes, he fell back asleep. Waking up, Sean opened his eyes to see that it was dark in the room, and the clock by Roberta's bed said it was 2 a.m. Stretching, he yawned a little, being careful not to wake the girls, of which he only saw three, Roxy, Jolene, and Daylin. He wondered where Roberta was. He'd go look in a bit. But first, he called up his stats spell to take a look at where he was. Surprisingly, his watch was still on. Apparently, no one had thought to take it off. When the sheet came up, he was rather surprised at what he saw. Apparently, doing stupid shit and almost killing yourself paid off. His constitution had gone up a point, and his physical stats had a fair bit of points to spend,
so he bought himself a bunch more regeneration.